verse 12, where we started talking last week about forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation. I want to just comment a little bit about forgiving us our sins. Forgive us our debts or forgive us our sins. You know that forgiveness of sin is a blessing that only God can give. No man can forgive sin but God. We can forgive one another, but when it even comes to forgiving us and us being able to forgive somebody else, that's something that God has to work in us to do. No wonder David said, "Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Blessed is the man whose sins are covered." And it's a covenant blessing. God said, "This covenant will I make with them, that their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Not as I made with their fathers." He said, "I'll not remember their sins, and I'll not remember their iniquities anymore." Now that is something when God says He does not remember. He cast them as far as the east is from the west, cast them behind His back. He blots them out as a thick cloud, cast them into the depths of the sea, and He washes them away by His Son. He gives all kinds of scriptural illustrations of what He does to put our sins away. And forgiveness of sin is this. It's God passing by sin, clearing the record, giving us a discharge of our sin, cutting us off from it and cutting it off from us. And to forgive sin, I'll just comment on this before I get to my next, to lead us not into temptation. But oh, I want, you know, to know your sins are gone, to know that you can face God without any sin. Oh, what a blessing to know that God hath taken your sin away. Lord, if thou shouldest mark iniquity, who should be able to stand? And God did mark iniquity. And now everyone for whom He marked iniquity on Christ can now stand in the presence of God. But He says, "There is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared." And to forgive sin is for God to take it away. To actually take it away. Take it from where it was and put it someplace else. Job says, "Take away mine iniquity and lift it off." It's like taking a heavy burden from a man's back who's fixing to fall under the load. And what God does is He comes and He lifts off of us our sins and our iniquity. Lifts them off our consciences. Lifts the guilt off of us and lays it on the Lord Jesus Christ. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And if they was upon Him, that's where God, when He took them off us, He put them on Him. And oh, bless His name. So what a blessing it is to have forgiveness of sins. Like there's an old black preacher named John Jasper. And they've written some autobiographies about it. If you ever get one of them, be sure and read it. He preached up in Virginia. It's one of the most famous old black preachers ever was. And I mean, he was a preacher. He was a gospel preacher. That's what he was. That's what makes him a preacher, gospel preacher. But he was asking this other fellow one time, and this other fellow had this big sack on his back, this heavy weight on his back. And he asked Brother Jasper, he says, "Brother Jasper, how in the world can I know that my sins are gone? How can I know my iniquities are gone?" He says, "Well, take that sack off your back and lay it down." He took that sack off his back and he laid it down. He said, "How do you know that sack's not on your back anymore?" I said, "Well, I don't have the weight on it. It's gone. I've laid the burden down." He said, "That's how you'll know sin's gone. God will take it off your conscience and you won't feel it anymore. The burden's gone. The weight's gone." And that's what it is. You take that old heavy burden off your back. God takes it away. Takes it away. Now let's look at this. Lead us not into temptation. We forgive God. We pray God forgive us of our sins. Keep us from our sins. And that's what the next one is. Forgive us our sins. As we forgive those who sin against us. As we forgive those. And I tell you, people that cannot forgive, that's a dead giveaway that they don't know the Lord. God's people can forgive and do forgive. They don't have to have their arm twisted. They don't have to be threatened. This is not a condition for God to forgive us. It's a fruit of us being forgiven of ourselves. God has no conditions on us being forgiven. He forgive us for Christ's sake. And here He says, you know, we pray, Lord, keep us, not only forgive us of our sins, but keep us from sins and the temptation for sin. and the foolishness of it. Lead us not into temptation. Now we see the first thing in this petition, in this prayer, Lord, as we pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation. Let us, don't let us go into temptation. In this prayer, in this petition, we learn this, and we have to acknowledge this, that God has the power over good and evil. He has the power over both. He has the power over both. And that's why He says, lead us not. Keep us from going in that way is what we're praying. Don't let us, we're going to be led some way. But He said, don't lead us there. Keep us from going that way. You know, David prayed, he says, Lord, keep back Thy servant from presumptuous sins. Sins that I think is not too bad. Sins that I think that won't get me in trouble. Sins that I think that I can get by with. Sins that I think that I can always ask for forgiveness for. Hey, that's what He's saying. Lead us not to where we're led into presumptuous sins. Keep us from going in that way. Now, beloved, I do know this, and you look with me in James chapter 1. I'm going to show you several things over here. James chapter 1. God tempts no man to sin. I do know that. God tempts no man to sin. When He says, lead us not into temptation. He said here in James 1:13, that's the first book after the book of Hebrews. God tempts no man to sin. It says in James 1:13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempteth He any man. God does not tempt a man. And that's why He says, lead us not into temptation. Don't let us go in that direction. Keep us from going that way. But not God does not tempt a man to sin, but He tries His people. And there's a difference in temptation and trying. Now God tries His people. He tried Abraham when He told him, says, take your son, your only son, up on the mountain. And He tries their faith. And that's what He said here in James 1:3. Look what He says about trying your faith. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. God, the trying of your faith is much more precious than of gold. Now, God doesn't tempt His people to sin, but He tries their faith. And He tries their faith, and I tell you, the reason He tries our faith is not to us. It doesn't give us faith. It proves whether we have faith or not. That's why He tries our faith. He says, your faith being tried, being much more precious than of gold, though you tried with fire. Gold can be tried with fire, but beloved, when God tries our faith, He tries it to let us know we have it. He knows what we got. And He wants to, and He tries it to purify it and to make us consistently and constantly look unto Him. Not only does He try their faith, but He tries their love. Do you love me? He said to Simon Peter. Lovest thou me, Simon? Yea, Lord, I do. Feed my lamb. Lovest thou me, Simon? I do, Lord. Feed my sheep. Lovest thou me? Oh, Lord, thou knowest that you love me. It's like that Shulamite maiden. Whenever her master was gone, she went running all through the night, looking everywhere, knocking on doors. She said, have you found him whom my soul loveth? Have you seen him? Tell me where he's at. And oh, He tries our love. And then He tries our obedience. Whether we're going to obey not or obey man. He done that to Peter and James and John. And those fellas told him, said, don't you go and preach in the name of Christ again. And they said, should we obey God or should we obey men? Which one? You tell us which one we should do. Should we listen to what you got to say or should we do what God told us to do? Which one should we do? So He tries our faith, He tries our love, He tries our obedience. And I know this, that temptations, lead us not into temptation. Temptation in and of itself is not an evil. It's not an evil in and of itself. Then a lot of people tempted that never sinned, never yielded to the temptation. Our Lord Jesus was tempted in Matthew chapter 4. You remember that? He was tempted of the devil 40 days and 40 nights. He was in the wilderness. And four different times it tells us there about the devil trying and tempting the Lord Jesus Christ. And the first thing he tempted him with when he was hungry, if you're the Son of God, command this stone to be made bread. You could eat if you'd make that stone to be turned to be bread. And our Lord answered him with the scripture, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So he tried him and tempted him, but our Lord was tempted, yet he was without sin. Huh? James says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Blessed is the man who endureth temptation. And God tried Peter, and you know when he tried Peter? You know what Peter learned about himself? He wasn't near as strong as he thought he was. Wasn't near as confident as he thought he was. Oh, I'm not going to let everybody else forsake you. I'm not going to. I'm not only ready to be put in prison with you, to be bound with you, but I'm ready to die with you. First thing he said, do you know this man? I don't know this man. Tried him. So there's in temptation, there's not evil in and of itself in temptation. Our Lord was tempted without sin. But where does temptation come from then? Where does it, you know, lead us not into temptation? Where does it come from? Well, it comes from us. Most of us, we're drawn away. Look there in James chapter 1, verse 14, it says this. James, well, I just read 13. Look in verse 14. This temptation of sin comes from ourselves. Said, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. His lust draws him away. And he's enticed. Something entices him. Something set before his mind. Something set before his affection. Something set before his desire. Then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. You see, you have this temptation. Then lust, when it conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, it brings forth death. And don't err, beloved brethren. This is the way it is. God don't tempt a man. A man's tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. And that's why Hebrews 12 says, seeing we also are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race set before us. Paul says, I know this, that when I would do good, evil's right there with me. And he said, I see a war in my members. My flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other. And you cannot do the things that you would. So this temptation, it comes from ourselves, it comes from our own heart. We all got a traitor in our castle. Got a traitor in our castle. And you know the person you'd like to get away from more than anybody else and be done with more than anybody else when it comes to these things is us. Not anybody in this building can make me sin. Not anybody in this building could entice me and tempt me. I don't believe. But I tell you, I got enough kindling in my own heart. And that's why it says, Lord, lead us not. Keep me from going that direction. Stop me from going that way. And temptation, it comes from ourselves, it comes from our own hearts, for from within, out of the heart, proceeds these things. And all we know from our own experience, what our own selves will do if we've given long enough rope. If God lets us go and leaves us to ourselves and leaves us to our temptations and leaves us to our imagination and leaves us to our concupiscence, our evil desires and our covetousness, if He let us go, how far do you reckon we would go? You don't have to go far. People think you got to go way far. No, no. All David done stood on a balcony and looked on a woman. That's all he did. There wasn't no temptation in him looking at her. But the temptation was when lust in him said, I got to have her. That's when he was enticed. And not only does sin come from within ourselves, but it comes from the devil. It's come from the devil. In fact, he's called the tempter. You know that? He's called the tempter. That's what he is. That's what he lives for, is to tempt people. You remember in Bunyan's Pilgrim Progress, he attacked the city of Mansoul, and he works to put out the fire of grace. I know this. You remember when Bunyan's Pilgrim Progress, when an old Christian was taken into the interpreter's house. And he went into the interpreter's house, and there's lots of things going on in there. And he came in there, and there's this one room he went in, there was this fire going. And there was a person standing right in front of that fire throwing water, just one bucket of water after another on that fire. And that fire wouldn't go out. And he said, how come that fire won't go out? He said, he's throwing water on and throwing water. He says, come around here and I'll show you. And there was a man standing in the back pouring water, pouring oil on it. And every time this is trying to blow it out, he'd pour oil on it and the fire come back up again. He says, what means this? He said, that fire is the grace of God in a man's soul. The devil is the one trying to put it out, but the Lord keeps pouring in the oil to keep the fire from going out, to keep man from losing the grace, to keep him from giving way to the devil, and the fire will never be put out. You know, not only is he called the tempter, but he's called the prince of this world, the prince of the power of the air. He's, you know, there's principalities and powers. There's evil spirits out in the world. That's what it's called. The God says that they're evil spirits. He says there's princes and powers and principalities out here in this world. And he's around no matter what we do. And when you read, especially the Bible, he'll be present to make your mind wonder. When you're praying, he'll be present to make your words stutter and be few. When you're meditating, he'll try his best to get you to think about something else besides the Word of God. And I tell you what, you know where we can find him at? Find him within us. And though we guard against him, we don't know how in the world he got in. But boy, he gets in. He gets in our minds, gets in our imaginations. It's like Elijah. He prayed and shut up the heavens. Prayed a 67-word prayer. Fire fell from heaven, destroyed all those false prophets and consumed all the sacrifices. And then he prayed for 3 years. The heavens were shut up and it didn't rain. But boy, when Jezebel said, I'm going to kill that prophet just as sure as I live, if the sons have come, a woman now. He called fire down from heaven, shut up the heavens for 3 years and it didn't rain. But a woman said, I'm going to get him. He fled and went over and sat by the brook of Cherith and sat under a juniper tree and says, God, just let me die. How in the world did he go from calling fire down from heaven to being so tempted? Huh? Oh my. And why are we in danger from Satan's temptations? Why are we in such danger? Well, he has malice in his tempting. He has malice. Malice is a horrible thing. Malice means that you wish ill. And if you got it in your power to do evil and do ill towards a person, that's what you'll do. And he has malice in his tempting. He's jealous. He is jealous of our happiness. He's jealous of our joy. He's jealous of our peace. He's jealous to look down and see a worm of the earth, a grasshopper like us, have fellowship with God, commune with God, casting self on Christ. And when he sees that, it fills him with such hatred. It fills him. Here he is. The devil came down and says, and he was having great wrath. And oh my, nothing would please him better. I know a fella that here a few years ago I run into him. And oh, he was a stout Calvinist. Oh my, he was in a service one time and some statements was made he didn't agree with. And I mean, he got on a blog and he went to fighting and fussing and starting arguments and writing all kinds of letters and all that. You know, going to straighten everybody out on how mad they missed this and how bad they missed that. And found out just a little over 2 weeks ago, this very man who was such a staunch Calvinist and wanted to straighten everybody out had his own blog, fivesouls.org. This same man says he does not believe in the Christian faith whatsoever now. He's denied Christ, denied faith, denied the Scriptures, denied ever believing. He says there's nothing to Christianity whatsoever. He started reading some books and decided that everything about it's false. First 11 chapters of Genesis is just a fairy tale. He says now, lead us not into temptation. How could he go from being straightening everybody out who says something wrong? And I'll tell you what it got him upset was. It's a fellow says, you know, that we have the imputed right, Christ, the righteousness of Christ imputed to us, and the righteous nature of Christ imparted to us. That when God makes us a new creature, not only do we have the righteousness of Christ imputed to us, but we're made partakers of the divine nature, and God gives us a nature that loves righteousness. And he took exception to that. And now he don't believe nothing. He's an infidel. He's an antichrist. And oh my, you see how Satan's tickled to death to got him. Huh? Now he's just fighting just as hard to show people that the Christian faith is awful and blasphemous and false as he was to prove Calvinism to be right. So he's got malice in tempting. And then he's diligent in his tempting. That's why, oh God, we're in danger. And Lord, lead us not. You know, they said, you know, that the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He'll be like the Pharisees. He'll compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And if he gets just a little advantage, now listen to me. If he gets just a little advantage, he won't let up. It's like Judas. Well, he just dangled just a little money in front of Judas. Just a little. And that just kept thinking on Judas's mind. And Judas just kept thinking, boy, that money. That's a pretty good bit of money. Next thing you know, they made him an offer. And he took it. And sealed his, he's called the son of perdition. And went to his own place. He never let up. Once the devil ever got it done, he never let up until he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is diligent. Satan is diligent. If one thing won't work, he'll try something else. You know that? If lust won't work, he'll try pride. If pride won't work, he'll try covetousness. If covetousness don't work, he'll bring you to despair. If despair don't work, he'll cause you to be presumptuous. If he can't make a man wicked, you know what he'll do? He'll make him as religious as all get out. He'll make him a Pharisee and give him a Bible and get him out of quote scriptures. And make him think, boy, I tell you what, if anybody goes to heaven, it's going to be me. No wonder he says, oh Lord, lead us not into temptation. And oh, not only is he malice, he has malice in his tempting and diligent in his tempting. But consider his power. Do you know how much power Satan has? Now, he's not omnipotent like God. But me and me ain't no match for him. Mm-mm. He's called the prince of this world. Look over in John chapter 14 with me just a minute. John chapter 14. You know, he's that strong man armed. As long as he keepeth his palaces and his goods are safe, he's that strong man armed. But he's called the prince of this world. You know, Christ is called the Savior, the prince of Israel. He's called the prince of his people, a prince to get repentance unto Israel. But Satan's called the prince of this world and his system. He's the one that's got all the power and all the glory as far as this world is concerned. He's got more power than God does, according to some people. But of course, we know he doesn't. But look here in verse 30. Our Lord Jesus says, hereafter, John 14:30, hereafter I'll not talk much with you. For the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. The prince of this world's coming. And he hath not. What that means is that he has nothing in me he can tempt. He has nothing in me he can try. He has nothing in me he can draw me away with. I have nothing in me that can be tempted. I have nothing in me that can be overcome. I have nothing in me that he can entice me with. But now, me and you're not that way. But that the world may know that I love the Father as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. So here he is, he's the prince of the world, don't have nothing in him. But if he comes after me and you, can we say he's nothing in me that he can't get to? Huh? Oh my. He has power. I'll tell you how much power the prince of this world has. He has power to transform himself into an angel of light. Yes, sir. You see him on television all the time. You see him in these mealy-mouthed preachers. You see him in the Pope. He transforms himself into an angel of light. And people say, oh, look how glorious, how bright. What a wonderful man. Oh, he loves the Lord. Oh, he just... And all they just go on and on about how great he is. But beloved, he has the power to transform himself into an angel of light. How can you tell that he's not an angel of light? How can you tell that he's one sent of God? It's his message. Does his message give all the glory to his God? To God? Does his message put man in the dust? Does his message present Christ as the only Redeemer? Does his message make Christ to be the only Savior? Does his message make man to be absolutely nothing? Would you know a preacher? How many preachers you know call a man a worm? How many preachers you know call a man a grasshopper? And that's what the Scripture calls him. But oh, most preachers are telling everybody, oh, we can't spell church without you. Come to the place where everybody is somebody. When God said all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And the only reason we're anything is because Christ redeemed us. Christ chose us. And God saved us. And oh my, that's why he transforms himself into an angel of light. Huh? And as a power, as a spirit, he can get into your thoughts. Now I want you to see this in Matthew 16. Now you think Satan ain't got some power. Here he used an apostle. He used an apostle in Matthew 16. Look what he did with an apostle here. You think he can't use somebody? Oh, listen, he can use it as an apostle. Look here in Matthew 16:21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go up to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. This cannot happen. But watch what our master said to him. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Does that mean Peter was Satan? No, Peter was not Satan. But Satan was using him. Satan was speaking through him. Satan was trying to keep Christ through Simon Peter from going to the cross. You don't need to go to the cross to save us. You don't need to suffer to save us. You don't need to die to save us. Just be a good example. Just show us what we ought to do. We can follow you. We can follow your example. Give us just give us a shove in the right. That's all it takes. And our Lord says, that's not the way God... You save us the things of men. That's what man wants. He wants a Redeemer without suffering. He wants salvation without death. He wants salvation without his sin been put away. He wants salvation on his terms. But we're going to have to get it on God's terms. I must suffer. That's what he said. And all, beloved, I tell you one thing Satan can't do. He has power in tempting, but he cannot force the will. He can't force the will. But he can sure entice it. He can sure entice. It's like Achan, you know, said, don't nobody take nothing out of that thing. And Achan saw that wedge of gold. And he did. And all, you know, not only as we, all that Satan tempt us, oh Lord, lead us not into temptation. But he has power in his subtlety. Subtlety is so crafty. So crafty. Paul says, you know, as Satan beguiled our mother Eve through his subtlety. Through his craftiness. Through his craftiness. I pray he not beguile you from the simplicity that's in Christ. He told the church at Thyatira. He says, you know the depths of Satan. You know the depths of Satan. Paul said we're not ignorant of his devices. And you know, he learns our weaknesses. Learns things about us that our nature and what we can be tempted with. What you like the best, that's what he'll lay before you. You know, he desires to tempt us. He learns how to tempt us. It's like when Christ was hungry, that's when he tempted him with bread. And it's while men sleep, it's while they sleep that the enemy comes and sow tares among the wheat. And you know, I'll tell you something else about him. He tempts to sin very, very gradually. He entices you away a little at a time. Just like David. David was walking out the evening to meditate. Looked over and he saw Bathsheba. Just with a look. If he'd let it go at that, then all right. But the look led to the desire, led to the taking, led to the murder, led to one thing after another. Didn't all happen at once. This happened over a long period of time. And it's like, you know how he is? When Job was presenting himself and sacrifices on account of his children, maybe if he went to offer sacrifice, you know where Satan was? He's right there. God says, you see that man down there? He said, you know what? He said, if you turn me loose on him, I'll cause him to cuss you to your face. That's what he means, don't lead us into temptation. He says, the only reason he serves you is because you bless him. You take his blessings away from him. He's mercenary. You take his blessings away from him and he'll cuss you to your face. God says, you can tap him. And I mean, he took everything Job had. And you know what Job says? The Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, I don't want to go through that, do you? That's why I'm going to pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation. Oh my, there are untold ways he can overthrow us. He has 6,000 years experience. If he overthrew our mother and father in the Garden of Eden when God talking with them every day, how much do you think it would take for him to overthrow the little old whipsticks like us? If that's why, Lord Jesus, keep us, lead us not, deliver us, protect us, preserve us, put a hedge around us. And oh, he's had 6,000 years experience. Oh, Lord, lead us not. Well, what should we do when we're tempted? When we are tempted, and we have temptations. I have them, you have them. We're tempted, sometimes to tell people off. We're tempted sometimes to get even with people. We're tempted sometimes to go after this thing, that thing, and another thing. We're tempted sometimes to, God only knows what goes through our mind. What do we do when we're tempted? First thing you do, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Look unto Him. Go unto Him. You know, it says here, you know, that our Lord Jesus Christ was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin, and He is able to succor them that are tempted. And oh my. And then there's a blessing of enduring a temptation. Blessed is the man who endureth temptation, for he shall receive the crown of life, the Lord Jesus said. And over in 2 Peter 2:9, it says, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. And look over here with me in 1 Corinthians 10. This is one of my all-time favorite scriptures, and I'm sure it is yours, because some of you have been through some awful temptations. You know, and to be very, very perfectly honest about it, there's times when things have happened, we say, Lord, how could God be in that? How could God have done that? How could God be in such a situation as that? We wonder these things and we ponder these things. And we're afraid to mention them, bring them out and speak of them but yet they're there and God knows them. And we're tempted. Those are the kind of temptations we have that God saves us from and forgives us of. We don't act on them. But look what it said here in 1 Corinthians 10:13. I love this. Love this verse of Scripture. Remember this the next time you're tempted. There hath no temptation taken you, but just such as is common to man. If you're a man, and if you're a human being, this every temptation is common to man. Man's going to be tempted. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. Are you tempted? He said, I'll keep you. Whatever your temptation, above that you're able. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Now that's the promise God made. That's wonderful. What a blessing. What a blessing. Oh my. It's like Elijah. God made a way to deliver Elijah. When Elijah prayed for him and died, nobody left but me. You know what God said? He said, Elijah, I've got 7,000. Haven't bowed a knee to Baal yet. You're not the only one left. And you know what he done? When he got over there, God says, you know, poor Elijah sitting there under that juniper tree wanting to die. He sent a raven to bring him bread and set him down by a brook and made the water run so he'd have something to drink. And that's why he's in his temptation. That's why he's murmuring. Peter denied Christ. Job was tempted to curse God. Our Lord was tempted of the devil. And you know why all these men stood? Christ said, I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. God made a way of escape for every one of these with their temptations. And oh, beloved, our Lord Jesus rules in our heart to keep us. And oh, let me show you this in Hebrews. Not, and then I'm through. Hebrews chapter 4. I've done quoted it, but I want you to look at it for yourself. Our Lord Jesus has sympathy with us and is able to secure us. Hebrews 4:15. And we all have this. Hebrews 4:15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He can, you know, you go to a priest or a preacher and you try to tell them what's going on with you, they can't be touched with your feelings. No, tell them what they're going through at that particular time. They cannot be touched with your feelings. They cannot be touched with your infirmities. He may be infirm at that time himself. But this high priest, he can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. But was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet he was without sin. So let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Huh? Look in verse 18 of chapter 2 here. Hebrews 2:18. For in that He Himself, in that He Himself hath suffered being tempted. It was suffering for him to be tempted. He is able to succor them that are tempted. You know, he'll make a way of escape. And you know something else he's done? He's like done when Joshua the high priest stood. The devil stood at his right hand to resist him. You know what God says? The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you, devil. The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. And all in our temptations, when it's all said and done, will be to the praise and the glory of God. The trying of your faith being much more precious than of gold, though it be tried with fire, that might be found under praise and honor and glory at His appearing. And that's why, David, that's why we pray here in this Lord's Prayer. And our Lord taught us, lead us not into temptation, Lord. Why not lead us into temptation? Because we're weak. Because we don't want to sin against you. And we certainly don't want to shame our profession. Do you want to shame your profession of Christ? Do you want to dishonor Christ by falling into a temptation? No. I don't want to sin against you. I don't want to shame my profession. Deliver us from ourselves. Deliver us from our deceit. Deliver us from our secret faults. Deliver us from our presumptuous sins. And do it for Christ's sake. Keep us from temptation, Lord. Don't let us go. Don't let us go. Our blessed Master, our gracious, gracious Lord Jesus, bless this word to our hearts, to our understanding. Lord, we know that You said in Your own word, and we know from our hearts and our experience in the truth that without You we can do nothing. And Lord, we know what we're capable of without You. Without Your staining power, keeping power, loving power, sustaining power. So Lord, forgive us our sins as we forgive those that sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us, save us from evil, and do it for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Turn.